The seventh Sunday after Pentecost. The first reading is taken from Isaiah 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision remains anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been repented long ago, performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But I will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, remain standing, please. Let's take a few seconds and pledge allegiance to the American flag and also the Christian flag. First, the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. All right, very good. Thank you. Be seated. And that was appropriate on this 4th of July weekend. Tomorrow, we're going to be celebrating the 240th anniversary of the birth of our nation in 1776 by the signing of a document. It was a declaration of opposition to the oppressors in England who very much wanted this land to remain as their colony. But for about 20 years prior to that, the seeds of this nation were sown by men who had a vision, who had a hunger, who had a passion to remain independent. They wanted to make their own decisions instead of having laws and rules and decrees imposed on them like they were second-class citizens. The seeds that were sown had to go through a trial by fire, the Revolutionary War. But those seeds grew into what we now know today as the United States of America. And so tomorrow we'll be recognizing the courage and the determination of that group of people. Think of them as farmers, in a sense, and celebrating the great country that they grew from the seeds that they planted. Well, today I think it's appropriate that we talk about the sowing of seeds of other kinds. Because in our lesson today from Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Now this is a continuation of Paul's caution to us that he began last week in our lessons to not pursue, you know, worldly desires, what he called desires of the flesh, but instead pursue desires of the Spirit. Paul said, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. And then in today's lesson, of course, Paul used the farming analogy because his immediate audience back then were familiar with planting and sowing and reaping. But I think the analogy works for us today because we all are familiar with what he was talking about in that analogy. And so I think it's effective for us to talk about sowing spiritual seeds. I know that we've heard this analogy many times in sermons and stories and articles and so forth, but I think we need to be reminded periodically, at least I do. And God put this on my heart today to share with you all. You see, we all go and sow many kinds of seeds every day and in almost every place that we go. Sometimes we do it intentionally. Sometimes we're oblivious to it. You know, it's kind of like we're walking around and there's a hole in our pocket and the seeds come dribbling out wherever we go. Sometimes we plant one, we think we're planting one kind of seed, and yet something else pops up. You know, if you're planting watermelon seeds out in the field and you go out and check your crop and it turns out that you're growing sunflowers, you need to check your seed bag. Now we see from Paul's letter that seeds can be good from God, from His Spirit, or they can be destructive from the flesh. Good seeds come from God and produce godly fruit here on earth and life in heaven, in eternity. Bad seeds come from the flesh, from our sinful nature, from Satan. Bad seeds produce pain and despair here on earth and death in eternity. Ultimately, God's Word and our obedience to it are the best kind of seed that you could have. Bad seed rejects God and is manifest in disobedience to Him. Of course, Jesus is the primary sower of seeds when He brings us the message of His life and His death and His resurrection. But God wants us to be farmers too, who plant His good seed. He wants us to spread His Word through our, you know, do what we say, what we do, and what we think out there in the world, our interactions with other people. We are seed sowers. Think about it, folks. We are sowing seeds all the time, whether we know it or not. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we think produces a crop of some kind, either in us or in other people. Too often we don't think about what we're doing or the effect it's going to have on others. You know, the way we talk to people, the way we treat people, what people see us doing, what God sees us doing. Just imagine as you walk around and you talk to people that you're sowing seeds of some kind. Those angry words that we yell at children or maybe our spouse, bad seeds. The meal that we take over to our neighbor because she's sick and can't care for herself, good seed. The shoulder that you lend to your coworker because they have some kind of a trouble in their life, good seed. All of these actions that we take in the world could be good or could be bad seed. The point is, we need to be aware of what we're doing. And believe me, I'm talking to myself as much as I am to you all. You know, I've shared with you, I think, on occasion that my wife tells me I'm an aggressive driver. And I am. I'll admit that. You know, I get upset sometimes because I think that people are not playing by the same rules that I am out there. Now, if I show anger to another driver or even well up anger in myself, it can have a negative harvest. I can reap a negative harvest. You know? I can ruin the rest of my day if I lay on the horn too much or other things. It can have a negative impact on the driver, the other driver. And that can spill over into my life and it can spill over into their life too. I have to recognize that I'm sowing a bad seed. Instead, I need to be sowing a good seed, like obedience to Jesus' command to love my neighbor. And then I can avoid a bad harvest. I can reap the understanding that maybe the other driver had some sort of an emergency or had a crisis, and that's why they're driving the way they're driving. And I can pray for them. This sets a good tone for the rest of my day and a deeper appreciation for others and what God wants us to do. It's not easy for me. It's much easier for my wife. But with God's help, I'm working on it. But I need to keep trying, keep asking God to forgive me for those times that I do get angry, and to give me a fruit of His Spirit, patience. My point is that we all need to understand what we're doing when we go out into the world. You know, I read a story one time about a man who was volunteering in the prisons. And one day he was going down the row of cells in the prisons, looking in each cell as he passed by, seeing some pretty forlorn and dispirited inmates that inhabit those cells. And he came across this one cell, and he noticed that the inmate was repairing a piece of clothing that he wears in the prison. And the man wanted to start up a conversation, to be sociable. And so he walked over to the cell door, and he said, "Hey, how are you? What are you doing? Sewing?" And without missing a beat, the man said, "Reaping." You see, he was reaping the consequences of sowing bad seeds in his life, and he was there in prison. God wants us to sow His good seed so that we can live our lives properly in this world. Now, to help you a little bit with this analogy, I want you to think of three farmers. The first farmer I'll call the careless farmer. He's the one that pays no attention to what he's doing. You know, walking around with this imaginary seed bag on his shoulder, and it's got a hole in it, and he's dribbling out seeds wherever he goes. He doesn't even know what kind of seeds are falling out. And he doesn't, you know, make any effort to nurture the sprouts or have them grow in any way. What kind of a harvest do you think that this farmer is going to have? Not a very fruitful harvest. But then again, he probably doesn't care. You know, he's more interested in himself and what he's doing. And he has no interest in learning the needs of others and how he may be affecting them. You know any farmers like that? Then there's a second farmer. He's the industrious farmer. He decides that he's going to intentionally go out and he's going to put seed in his field of his life rather than let it lie idle. And so he throws out seeds and he works diligently day after day trying to bring in a bumper crop. In fact, he sees as his field grows that it's very green and he takes a lot of pride in it. As a matter of fact, he takes so much pride in it that he looks down on his neighbors whose field is not as green as his is. But then he goes to reap the fruits of his labor. And he finds out that he just has a field of weeds. Very good-looking weeds, but weeds nonetheless. They have no value whatsoever. All of his hard work is useless. You see, it doesn't matter how hard you work or how much you take care of your plants. If your seed is weeds, there'll be no good fruit to harvest. Now, how would you feel if you were that farmer? An example of that type of farmer is one who would put all of his hard work into the things of this world and not of God. things that he thinks will bring him long-term benefits, but in the end are worthless pursuits. And then we have the third farmer. The third farmer I'll call the diligent farmer because he researches his seed to make sure that it's the very best type that will yield the best crop. He studies to determine the best way to plant it. He studies to find out how much and what type of nutrients are needed to make the plants grow strong. He researches to find out what the best way is to protect his plants from conditions that may harm it. At harvest time, it yields an overabundance of fruit. Now, an example of this type of farmer is a person who takes God's word into his heart and he studies it and he's obedient to God's commands. He then will reap satisfaction in this life and riches beyond measure in the next. Well, we all want to be that type of farmer, right? But the truth is that most times we have all three farmers within us. God wants us to sow His good seed, both in our lives and in the lives of others. Seed that will produce the fruit of the Spirit that Paul told us about last week in Galatians 5. You know, seeds that will produce love and joy and peace. Seeds that produce patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We're all farmers, folks. We all sow seeds of some kind. How would you like to have the spirit of gentleness and peace or total self-control? How wonderful it would be if you were known as the person that brings joy, that brings peace to others. How wonderful it would be if you were known to spread love and kindness and goodness wherever you went. Well, we can do that. We can do that. If we're diligent farmers and we choose God's word as our seed. Now, God wants us not only to be farmers, He wants us to be good soil ourselves. We're all fertile ground that someone planted the seed in. Someone was a farmer for the Holy Spirit who planted a seed in you. Maybe it was your mother, your parents. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was your spouse. Or maybe it was, you know, a pastor or a teacher. Or maybe it was an article that you read, the writer of an article that you read about the Word of God. Whomever it was, the Holy Spirit used that person to be a diligent farmer. And that seed was nurtured, and that seed grew, and it produced you. You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians in his first letter. He said, "I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. In this, we're both farmers and fields. And God guarantees that there will be a harvest. There will be a reaping. God's word will take root in the hearts of those who are chosen by the Holy Spirit." Hopefully that has been each and every one of you. God chose you to know the truth. And the truth has set you free. Now God wants us to be farmers to sow His word so that others can be set free. And don't be discouraged if you don't immediately see the fruit of your labor. Like God declared through Isaiah in chapter 55, He said, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Don't be discouraged if you don't see results right away. You know, if you've ever been a teacher, you know, maybe preschool or, you know, grade school or Sunday school or some kind of teacher, you may not see the results of your teaching until years later, if at all. You know, it's always gratifying to have a grown child come back to you as a teacher and thank you for teaching them something that is something positive that has stayed with them and made them a better person. That's why our preschool here at Epiphany is so important. It's an important mission. Our teachers here sow wonderful seeds of Jesus in the fertile minds of the children that come here each school day. We only have a short time with them. But those seeds that are sown, like it says in Proverbs 22, start children off on the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. Those teachers may not see the fruit of their sowing on this side of heaven. But sowing is no less important. Or if you're a parent or grandparent, having your children turn out to be productive, God-loving, well-adjusted adults is a wonderful reward, right? But sometimes we don't see those plants sprout up right away. We have to have faith that God will cause those seeds that we sow to grow in whomever He desires. Paul adds to that in our lesson today from Galatians 6. He said, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Now, some people would say, "Oh, Paul's just asking us to be, for lack of a better term, goody-two-shoes." You know? And even that term takes a kind of a negative connotation because it's associated with people that the world views as excessively virtuous or, you know, just a do-gooder all the time. And you see that? You see, the world would even mock someone who wants to do good for everybody else all the time. But as Paul said, God will not be mocked. That's exactly what God wants us to become. We were created. We were grown to love God, to glorify Him like we do in this service, to serve Him by serving others what they need. We are grown by God for our heavenly home. We're grown for His purpose. And whether we see the results of our labor in this life or the next, we have to have the satisfaction in knowing that God is faithful to His Word, and His Word will not return to Him empty. It will accomplish what He desires and achieve the purpose for which He sent it. Well, if you haven't heard me say this, we're all farmers. We all sow seeds of some kind in this world. We have to be aware of that. And I want you to ask yourself today, tomorrow, next day, what kind of seeds are you sowing? Are you sure? Pray to the Lord of the harvest to sow His good seed all of the time. constantly sowing the spiritual seeds that reap the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, joy, peace. And the best of all, love. You know what? God is love. And so when we sow love, what kind of harvest do you think we'll have? The best possible. Amen? Amen.